All right. 50 pass, Marin in for Cedar. I'll tell you, that's scary stuff. Talking to Borzu Dargahi, the idea that what he's saying is that the smart people have left. And that can be translated to smart people leave Iraq, which means what is going to be left, usually when smart people leave or the people that can afford to leave, leave, is that you, I'm not going to say you have dumb people there, but you have people that cannot leave, that may not be financially capable of leaving. You have angry people. I mean, the compromises that they're living through there are profound. Right now, this month, there is less household fuel available than when the war started, which means there's more anger. Out of that kind of poverty and desperation comes reactionary ideology, plants its roots. They will be attracted to violence. They will be attracted to a type of nationalism or reactionaryism that is violent, that that if the Wild West landscape exists, that all that will be left are people that are possibly going to join in reactionary politics, Islamic reactionary politics, or just desperation and fight the Americans. And that with a troop surge, that what you're going to have is a really more frightening situation than it already is there, a more desperate war. But the interesting question is with a troop surge in a country that's becoming more abandoned, that's becoming more destroyed on a national level, where the people's spirit is that broken that most of them are leaving, what does success even look like there? I mean, you know, let's say that they are able to secure a completely destroyed, gutted country and kill whoever is left there or subdue them, who are going to be the most desperate and poor of those people. What kind of legacy is that really? And obviously this administration doesn't care what that legacy is, as long as they can secure their bases and work out a deal with the Iraqi national oil supply. Very frightening. It's very frightening, the gamble that this administration is going to be taking and the amount of money they're going to need to do that, almost $200 billion more dollars. Where's that going to come from? I'm going to shift gears back to a couple of calls here that we were talking about hate speech and words before. Evan in Durham, North Carolina, what's on your mind, my friend?
Morning. Well, my comment is not so much about hate speech in general, mm-hmm. but about a specific comment that Michael Richards had said. He's on Letterman. He said, you know, that's the crazy thing about it is I'm not a racist.
Right.
I don't know where this came from. Mm-hmm. Now, black people were against this war in Iraq and in 2003, like 60 or 70%, as opposed to the rest of the country. And I think that's because blacks in general, we saw this as a racist endeavor from the start.
Right.
And the thing about that is that brings me back to this comment that, you know, when Michael Richards said, well, the odd thing about it is that I'm not a racist. You know, I don't know where this came from. And one of the justifications for this war was that this is not a racist war. We're trying to help them out. We're trying to free them. We're not there for the oil. Mm-hmm. We're not there to make this country dependent and, you know, disarm them.
So what you're saying is that this is a culturally indoctrinated white ruling class disposition that people are unaware is racist within them.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
I think the same thing could apply to other parts like Central America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Reagan was saying, you know, we're going to make sure that the communists don't get their hands on these people because we really appreciate, you know, what they've done for us.
Yeah, and they're our people.
right.
We want to own those people.
Right.
That's a great point. Thanks a lot for your call, Evan. That is true about that. And it's what I was saying to about it before, that you must learn the respect. You must learn how to respect other cultures and come from that place, because there's a lot of reactions that we have that are encultured in us that we may not have taken responsibility for because they're second nature, but they are racist. That's a great point. Sharon in Memphis, Tennessee, what's up?
Hi.
Well,
I agreed with a lot of stuff you said. I had a question and maybe just a thought point. You were talking about blacks on stage only disparaging blacks or gays disparaging gays. But yet you made a comment about a comedy routine you did where you were being heckled, and you used the C word about women. And I just, you know, it's just a point of thought that if we can think so much about disparaging blacks or gays or Mexicans or any other cultural group, why don't we do the same thing about women?
No, no, I agree with you. And it wasn't a comedy routine I was doing. I was angrily calling a woman the C word in a moment of complete snappage. And and I agree that there needs to be a certain amount of respect around that. But, you know, I've tried to demystify that word, but it's not really my word. Maybe if women started calling each other that in a happy way, maybe it would lose some of its power.
One other comment I had was I've been friends with Jamie Masada for a long time, the owner of the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And he's just one of the nicest, most genuine guys.
Absolutely.
The comedy circuit. So
absolutely.
I thought maybe we should all give him a little bit of a break. I think what he was doing was trying to make things a little bit better, and maybe not perfectly, but in his own way.
No, no, I got nothing against Jamie. He's always been good to me, and I think he's a good guy, and I think that what he was trying to do was an earnest attempt at patching things up, but it's just not going to hold, and I'm not sure it's right. Thanks for your call, Sharon. I will be coming back with Johnny K Street over the top of the hour. We're also going to have a little fun with music. Nathan Brackett from Rolling Stone magazine will be with us, either on the phone or in the studio. I don't know, probably on the phone to talk about that magazine's top 50 records. And we'll take a couple more calls. And it's been a great show. You're a great audience. It's 57 past Marin and Fraceter.
On Air America Radio.
What if you could free up $300 a month of your existing income and put it back in your pocket? What if you could pay off all of your debts in 5 years or less, including your mortgage, and have the peace of mind of knowing that you could retire in 10 years or less? What if you could do this all on your current income? Since 1987, Financial Freedom International has helped thousands increase their cash flow, eliminate debt, and build real wealth with their 9 Steps to Wealth system. If you own a home and have debt, call to schedule your personal consultation, and we'll create a customized 9 Steps to Wealth report just for you. The consultation is normally $59, but for a limited time is yours absolutely free and with no obligation. Call 877-870-2641 for your free consultation. 877-870-2641. 877-870-2641.